Well, I want to welcome everybody to another exciting edition of Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers. I get to play host today, and what a treat it is today to have with us NECN's current Wellness Consultants of the Year, Grant and Ann McNabb, hailing from, well, a little north of everybody else that usually tunes into the call, because, you know, that's really sad. I never thought about Grant, and we need to get ourselves to work here and get some more of you Canucks into the Rogers organization, because we just don't quite have enough of them. So I'm gonna set a benchmark right now, saying we're coming north. Okay, so you guys don't mind, right?
Good. Well, it's really fun. We look forward to seeing you.
Yes.
Well, first of
all,
you know,
so.
Well, come in. I hear January and February is the warmest time to come, right?
Oh yeah, right.
Because
global warming. That tends to. You guys had a really hot one this last winter, like we did. Hey, let's jump right into things here, and with both of you on the line, we're going to really have to stay laser focused here. At least I will, so you guys can help me on, keep me on track. Let's go back. A lot of people have read your story in the NECN magazine. And I feel like I kind of have an inside scoop because I met you a little over a year ago at the first MBA event, and we had a delightful time running around the Irvine Spectrum Mall there, probably doing things that we shouldn't have been doing in that Brookstone store while playing with gadgets. Anyways, but we won't get into that. None of us were arrested, I don't think, so it's all in the up and up. But take us back to the beginning of when you, I know you had a horse experience, and I've got a few questions roaming around in my brain, but how on earth does somebody from the corporate background and engineering background jump into the world of network marketing and into the world of NECN?
Well, I guess maybe I should start because I saw the horse.
That's
actually, what happened is my children were competing in tetrathlon, pentathlon. I grew up on a ranch. We still live on a ranch. And so horses were, I might have probably even been probably in my mother's womb when I was on a horse, because she was always a great horse person, still is. So what happened is we were doing, my children were competing, and I ended up coaching when I was, you know, they were in Mexico City, and I wasn't covered by insurance, and so I decided that I should do a level one coaching exam. My son had competed in Lexington, Kentucky that summer, and we came home, and the horse was sore, and I was pretty upset. That was after Grant's emergency triple bypass, so he can tell you that. I'd taken a package from the oil industry and was going to go consulting in the oil industry, and then Grant had a heart problem, did a triple bypass, and then, so I was lucky I was off. Then this horse got sore, and I was trying to do the exam. You touch the horse's back, and he'd flinch. Well, you can't jump 3'6" fences if your horse's back is sore. So what happened is a lady did the muscle test with me on the insoles, and I thought, this is hokey. I didn't see any difference. But she put the travel quilts now on the horse's back. And literally in a half an hour, approximately, he didn't hurt. And I'm thinking, this is weird. This is crazy. But I'd spent over $1,000 with my vet, and I knew there was something different. So I bought the back flex, and we cut it into three pieces. The horse got two around its front feet, and we had the quilt. So I passed my exam, and she kind of dripped on me, and I bumped into her, and then we needed a sleep system. And so just before Christmas of 98, I bought the Long Johns, came out in socks, and I thought, gee, in the ranch, that would be really helpful. And they were amazing. So I said to her, well, will you give me a deal? And she said, well, Anne, you can either have wholesale or retail. And I said, but I'm not interested in selling. I'm not interested in any of this stuff. Half an hour later, she read the Riot Act, and I kept asking questions, and she said, well, you can either buy wholesale or retail. You decide. Well, I'm Scottish, so I decided, well, I guess I'll join. And so I joined strictly to buy products for myself and family. And then what happened is she did a training session, and then she said, you got to come to a presentation, learn some more. So I did, and actually a businessman was presenting the five pillars, and I thought, wow, do you mean I could do this business, replace my income, and travel with my children? I'd never had balance because I'd always worked, and when they were younger, we had a nanny, and so that's how it got started. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew the products worked, and we were out to have fun, and so that's how we kind of got into it.
And now, before you turn it over to Grant, because I know you're wanting to volley to his side of the court here, there are several things that you just mentioned that, in reading Dave Johnson's last email, very profound in that you said specifically, and we hear this all the time. I did an in-home on Tuesday night and heard the same exact thing. It's like every time we introduce somebody, they can, oh, I'm not a salesperson. And, you know, and fully on that statement, because everybody is. If you're breathing, you're a salesperson. I mean, that's just, I mean, we've come to learn that. But you had specifically said, obviously I'm not going to pay retail because that's foolish, because, I mean, who wants to pay retail when you can, you know, join for, you know, less than $100 and get it, you know, a much 25% discount. But you specifically said, I'm not in this to sell, but based on the fact that you were introduced to the five pillars of health. Now, when you say you'd never had balance, what do you mean by that?
Well, both Grant and I were professionals. I worked, and I guess I was pretty dedicated. I guess, you know, having grown up on a farm, you worked really hard. Well, at work, I was always working long hours, and, you know, I was in systems. I've got a master's in computing science, so I'd leave home early in the morning and sometimes be home late at night, and sometimes, you know, we were out in the field for 3 days or doing a project or whatever. So we, you know, really had quality time when we were with our children because we had a nanny, but I didn't have the choice lots of times. I went to work. So here, when I could see that, you know, you could make money, you could travel with the children, and you're right, I was involved in sales. I was selling ideas. We were always right-sizing, downsizing, centralizing, decentralizing in the oil industry. So I definitely could sell ideas, but I had never sold a product. And when you're passionate about something, so... And I wouldn't do this. I would have never done this if I hadn't been passionate. And when you hear Grant's story, you know why I was so passionate. I didn't want my children to have the zipper job, I call it. So, you know, I was out there to tell everybody. And I think what we're really, now I realize, I was out to tell everyone, but at first it was kind of like, boy, I'm sure I blew some people over because I was so excited. And I was just, you know, I had to tell everyone about this amazing stuff. But now I realize we're just really sharing and we're just educating people. So I think the big thing, I probably even could have been more successful at first if I, you know, hadn't been so excited just to tell. You know, it is an exchange.
Yeah, there's several things, though, that you keyed on the fact that, you know, when you're really passionate about something, and you obviously, it was almost a negative motivator in the fact that you said you didn't want your kids to have the zipper job, because whether it's in the genes, and I immediately flash back to, oh, goodness, 13 years ago when the gentleman who introduced us, Dennis Williams, had the zipper job, and it was in his genes, and here we are 13 years later, and if you saw Dennis today, you'd say, man, you're at the epitome of health. I mean, you actually look younger than you are, you know, physically at your age. But that preventative mechanism kicked in you, and that became your passion. So, Grant, what being an engineer, and I am not one, I mean, I play around with, you know, drawing up things, but not to the extent that, obviously a professional engineer would do. What brought on the heart attack for you?
Well, I've been warned in about 92. Some of you will be familiar with Dr. Jim Buse in our downline, the top platinum salesperson. He warned me in 1992 that my blood solidified in the test tube when they drew it. And that wasn't a particularly good sign.
You mean it was so thick that it just didn't...
Yeah, the fat component was so heavy that they couldn't keep it in a liquid form in the test tube.
Now, was that, and I'm going to get personal here, was that because of genetics or because of your lifestyle and that you...
Well, I had a very good lifestyle. I drank 3 Cokes a day and 3 sticky buns a day. And I was having a very good time on a very big sugar high.
Now, job related or just something you enjoyed doing?
Didn't know any better.
Okay.
You know, I mean, one I was in the computer field. And so we were always building computer systems and, you know, having to meet tight deadlines. And so, you know, whenever you got a chance to break, you know, the energy would be down a little bit, so you'd have a Coke and a sticky bun. And, you know, not a particularly good lifestyle.
So how young were you when you got to have, as your wife so eloquently described, the zipper job?
Well, actually, I should say the one thing that he did is... he never had a heart attack.
Okay.
He was dizzy and couldn't catch his breath. And so he was quite young. We don't talk about age.
Okay. So he was quite young, and so you went in to do the surgery as a preventative or just because it was, as you said, when they drew your blood, it solidified. That was the writing on the wall, so to speak?
No. I'd been digging fence post holes that day and came in and had a really good dinner and went to lay down because I was tired and, you know, figured that was okay because I'd worked hard. But I got dizzy when I laid down and I thought, that's kind of strange. So I got up and said, you know, that's kind of strange. The dizziness went away. Then I laid down again and it came back. And I thought, well, if that happens again, something's wrong. And so then the third time, I called Ann and the kids, and they took me into the hospital. And I had trouble breathing going into the hospital, but I had no idea why. And so then, you know, the hospital couldn't figure it out either. And so I stayed in over the weekend, and every once in a while the monitor would go off. I wasn't quite sure what that was because I wasn't so bright. And then they came in and said, we're going to try and do an angioplasty. And I said, oh, that's good. You know, so we'll get better. And they shot the dye in. And they said, oh, well, we got to do that again. And I said, okay, because, you know, I'm under a local. And then everybody went, and ran out of the room. And I thought, well, that's a strange reaction. And then, you know, about half an hour later, the local wore off, and I sort of woke up a little bit and said to the nurse, well, you know, what's happening? And she says, well, there's going to be an operation. You see all those people up there? They're getting ready for it. I says, oh, yeah? On who? And she says, well, nobody's told you? I said, no, I've been asleep, you know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing while you've got your finger in my leg stopping the bleeding. So all of a sudden then... it was a couple hours later, then and I went for the emergency triple bypass, and then we discovered later that I only had 2% flow of blood to the heart, and that if there'd been any occlusions or any other problems, it would have been game over. But we made it through and started to change lifestyle. We had, because I was instructed to walk and do all sorts of good things. We had sort of like a second honeymoon because it stayed mild all that year until almost into January. And so we could walk outside twice a day, and each day you increased the amount of walking every 3 days, sorry, you increase the amount of walking by 5 minutes. And so that really, really brought things on in a hurry in terms of getting relatively fit again, but my energy didn't come back. And so then that's when Ann saw the products on the horse. You know, I'd come home from work. I was angry after work. Had to go to bed at 7:30. So it wasn't a particularly good scene. Then she put me on the demo pack when she decided to do the business, and things got really, really better in about 3 weeks. I didn't notice it at first, but then all of a sudden she decided, the heck with it, I'm going to take it away and give it to somebody who needs it, and, you know, because you're not showing any signs of response. And I couldn't stay awake the next day at the office.
Okay, now, Grant, time out for a second here, because I'm going to take a guess here that you didn't go back to the regular lifestyle that you had after this emergency surgery, with as far as the three Cokes and the sticky buns routine. Did you just cut that out?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were smart enough to at least, as an engineer, say, okay, look at, you know, 1 + 1 here definitely equals 2, and, you know, this ingredient plus this ingredient equals, you know, heart problems.
Disaster. Yeah.
Okay.
And Ann was very good. Normally you couldn't get into the heart wellness programs until 10 or 12 months after the operation.
Mm-hmm.
But she went to bat for me in every case and got me into the wellness programs at the Cardiac Wellness Center very quickly, because you could attend the lecture sessions. And so then we started to learn a whole bunch about what we needed to do.
Sure.
You know, and so started to really change the diet, read labels, you know, do all those kinds of good things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had said just now that when Ann started to do the business and you didn't show significant signs of change, it was kind of a gradual, what would you say, 3 weeks' time that you were on the sleep system?
Yep.
Okay. So, and I guess the point I want to drive home, even for my own 2 ears and my brain to comprehend, sometimes we don't see the results automatically. It may take a few days or even a couple of weeks, and it's so gradual that we don't realize until we take the product away, or we, you know, go for an overnight in a hotel or something, and you don't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And I guess for me,
I saw it on the horse, but then one of the next experiences was my daughter. Her ankles always hurt when she'd run. And she was just, you know, an early teenager, and so I went to one of the meetings, and I guess that's where, like, I really believe in the process. I think, you know, you have to create some interest or find out if somebody's looking for a change. You need to do a demo of the product. You need to make sure somebody goes out to an event, get them to talk to lots of other people. So I really believe in that process, and so one of the events I was out, I'd always go to our events and I'd run around and ask people, well, how'd you solve this or what did you do for this and so on. And that was when we were using more spot magnets. You know, and so she put the insoles in her shoes and she said, Mama, if I do it, you have to do it. So we're both running the Olympic Oval, and she saw a huge difference. And I thought, well, maybe there's some difference. But I did some experimenting and put it in my riding boots, and the next day when I was galloping the horse across the field, and he's an ex-racehorse, dodging the gopher holes, I thought, my legs are pretty solid. But the next day I didn't put them in because I wasn't used to doing it. And I thought, gee, where did my 18-year-old legs go? Mm. So, you know, for some people, I was really fit and really healthy. I didn't see a difference until I did something really strenuous. And Grant's energy was so low that it took him a long time to recover.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about believing in the process.
Yes.
That the imperativeness of that, and I want to segue right now into the fact that so many times we hear the comment, well, do we introduce people to the product, or we introduce them to the business, or, you know, the whole package? And so often what seems to be the drawing card for so many of us is that this completely unique technology that is so foreign, no pun intended, to our our traditional Western mindset that, wait a second, here's something that we can use naturally, has no side effects, not like all the stuff we read about in the magazines, the fine print, or on the commercials, and that. But we can use this, and all of a sudden that becomes the business, because as you said, when you're passionate about something, it's not selling. We're just sharing it to other people. What are some of the things that you have used? Because if we go back, y'all have been in Nika now how long?
Since 99.
Okay, so 99. So 10 years now.
Yep.
And you've hit the mountaintop, as I like to describe it, as far as, you know, the Wellness Consultant of the Year. The numbers don't lie. I mean, to earn that title, it's based on volume. It's not based on necessarily having the highest paycheck. That's not it, or commission check for Nikan. It's based on sponsorship, you personally and in your group. It's based on personal volume, both you personally and in your group, and a lot of different factors taking place, you know, number of people advancing to different positions and rank, and yet you guys are just the ordinary couple pursuing life, or at least what you felt, and you had said you were completely out of balance. You didn't know what balance was. And all of a sudden you introduced this five pillars concept, believing in the process. What is that process for you guys? If there was one thing that you would say to somebody who's been in Nikan for a while or just getting started, what is that process that you so believe in that has taken you to that top position as Wellness Consultant for the Year?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, like at first I was so passionate I just had to tell people about all these products and explain to them that it could make a difference in their lives. But I think the biggest thing that I always go back to is when we go out and we do a lot of fun things and at parties and things and we try to form people or find out what they're looking for and where they're looking for a change, and that's where, too, when I sit down, I still like the five pillars, because I'll say, you know, I used to be in the oil industry, I didn't have balance here, now I've got more balance. What two areas in your life would you like to improve?
Sure.
And if they say money and they say body, or somebody says body and mind, or somebody says family, then we try to find out what are they looking for? And, you know, like, Grant, maybe you can talk about even how we wrote at that and you found Sarah.
Yeah, well, you know, people often invite you to sort of charities or fundraisers. So we got invited out to a sports bar situation to support Calgary hockey and the young children coming up and teenagers as they're getting set to try out for the NHL. And so we're there, and, you know, oftentimes the organizers are really good people to talk to, but you don't get to talk to them when the main event's on because they have to do everything. So we were hanging around, and most of the people had gone home, and one of the organizers came over, and she was a nurse, and we asked her, well, you know, how do you like nursing? And she says, well, not very good. You know, I says, are you looking for a change? Well, yeah. You know, I'm not happy with it because of all the emphasis on the heavy drugs. You know, there's just got to be a better way. You know, I mean, where else can you hire a straight person, you know? And so, you know, when you find that magical moment, it's just amazing. And so we just keep looking for people to identify themselves, and we try to give them a chance to identify themselves to us that they're interested in what we have.
Okay.
And then so what we did then is once she identified herself, we got her contact information, and then we met. And, you know, the first time we did is we met one-on-one. Now, sometimes they can come to our home, but we live a distance from Calgary. So there we would meet either at a coffee shop or someplace, and we would just go through that five pillars and explain what a little bit about our story, and then ask them what they'd like, and then we do a muscle test, and then we encourage them to come out to an event. I went over to her place and did a rollout for her, and she came out to several different events, and we connected her to other nurses. So I really believe in the three ways, you know, or three ways at an event. So if you go to an event, you've got to take people around and introduce them to other people that they may benefit from hearing their stories, and just really get all their questions answered.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's taking the time, and I wrote that question down, and I think I wrote it down properly here. What two areas, if you could, would you like to improve when you present those five pillars? Is that what you're talking about doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's more like in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're asking, well, you know, do you like your job? You know, well, if you had unlimited time and money, you know, what would you change?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, you know, however it comes out, it's not, you know, a form or anything like that. It's just how you talk to people generally and try and find out what their life's like.
Sure. So you're not handing them a presentation chart and saying, here, why don't you flip through this and tell me what, you're just simply creating conversation.
Yeah, because we spend our life at parties, eh? We really like going to parties. So.
Well, and I know you guys like to have fun, because when I first met you, you had just come from Hawaii and then on to the MBA event, and I don't even know how we got paired up. It was the two of you guys, myself and Pat and Suzanne Truax, and we ended up having a delightful time.
Yep.
And that was, I think, the first thing that, if there was an element that attracted me to Grant and Ann McNabb, it was the fact that the fun element, you guys literally pushed the envelope on that. And that's pretty key. I mean, in 2009, and regardless, I mean, in our culture today, there's not a whole lot of people out there. I mean, there are, but the negativity factor, the pessimists, as I call them, you have to make that decisive decision that, hey, this is going to be a great day, and you guys definitely do that every single day, and, you know, every event, regardless of how mundane it could be, you guys can we can all turn it around and make it fun. One last question as we try and wrap it up. And again, I go back to what I'd asked earlier about, did you guys set out, I mean, did you really, when at the get-go, did you set out and think that one day you would be the wellness consultant for the year?
No.
Oh, that's easy.
No, we certainly, we were shocked when that was, we hadn't even looked at the criteria. We had no idea about it. We were just having fun and really wanting to share with people and help make a difference in this world. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was just...
Yeah. At the time it was announced, I was down in front of the stage, hidden behind one of those giant monitors, and taking pictures of our downline who are being called up as top performers. We had no idea that anything was going to happen.
And it's been a few months now, going on 6 months. So has it been a fun ride?
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, I think what was really exciting is it is a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the team and all the teamwork, we were the ones who got selected. But it was really the team effort. And so now, what we really can say is Grant took the cup and things to the different meetings and said, "Now it's your turn. Let's get pictures of you with this cup," because really anyone on your team or our team or any team can do it. It's really making a decision, focusing, being coachable, and just go have fun.
Exactly. Now, and I couldn't echo that anymore, because again, you guys are, you know, several hundred miles away from us. We don't see each other on a regular basis, maybe once, two times a year, and that comes through loud and clear, not only with you, but also with your team. And I think that's so important, and I really appreciate you saying that, because it's not about just simply saying, well, I'm gonna achieve that. Well, if you set out to achieve something by yourself, well, then you get to celebrate by yourself, and that's no fun. Because, Grant, as you said, life, you know, it's just about going to parties and having fun and bringing a lot of people along in the process. and that is so elementary, and yet we forget that. It really is. It's not anything. It's not about selling a bunch of things. It's about bringing a whole team of people on board that, hey, let's look at this five pillars of health thing and see where we're out of balance. And I want to go back to that again and finish with that, is that when you're passionate about something, it really is not selling. And if we could actually identify with people and talking about that and creating that conversation, find out. Because I know I was. You know, for me, when I started, it was healthy finances. That was what was out of balance for me. I just didn't have any. And for you guys, it was the sake of you. You might have had the finances and the good, you know, secure, you know, occupation, but you were missing out on the rest of that stuff. So, and I would imagine, based on even the photo in the magazine, that your kids probably like you a lot more today, as far as the balance aspect, than you know, prior to me, Ken.
Well, you know, we always did spend time with our children. But I think the neater thing was, when we started Nikin, they were part of it. They did the horse previews, or when we have an open house, they help us clean up. They do rollouts, or they do different things, or presentations, or they have to do testimonies. So now, and they get to go to all of the events, too. And so it's so cool, because they're our best coaches. One day my daughter phoned home and she says, "Well, what are you doing, Mom?" And I said, "Well, I'm kind of watching the birds here," because I had hummingbirds out front and stuff. And she says, "Well, I thought you were supposed to be working." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm working." Or my son says, "Now, Mom, I asked, what should I do different?" And he says, "Well, why don't you go out and join a group, or go to a meeting, or go do something?" Or they'll ask us. And so now it's... I really encourage families to make it a team and engage your children, because I'll tell you, they have learned so much from this business and the positive thinking. They've heard the Mark Victor Hansons, they've gone to the different, you know, inspirational speakers and the Humans Being More, et cetera, et cetera. So they've been part of it, and they're our coaches too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really good, because they're learning, you know, a lot of challenges these days with kids is I don't think there's as much public speaking in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And to get them up on stage and to give their testimonies and to do that type of thing is part of the growing experience, and we really think that it did, the Nikin experience did wonders for them.
Mm-hmm. No, and I reminiscing as you're saying that, I remember when our youngest was two. And I took her on a nine-day tour on the East Coast to several of our groups, and she reflects back to that. And now when I'm getting ready to take a trip, or we're talking about it as a family, each one of the girls will say, "Well, I think it's my turn to go on this one with you, right, Daddy?"
And good.
I would imagine that both in the oil industry and being an engineer in the computer industry, that you probably didn't take your kids along very often?
No. Not very often.
And I know that was a silly question, because I knew the answer to that one.
Well, actually, yeah. My son did go one day to work. They did have kind of a work exchange.
Uh-huh.
And he went one day to my work. And it was comical, because we were redesigning the company. And at the end of the day, I said, "What did you think?" And he says, "You know, Mom, I don't know. It seemed like you guys talked a lot. I don't know if you've accomplished anything."
Yeah, that is classic. Well, and that's one of the funnest things about Nikin is when I remember years ago when it was said, first time I ever heard it, it's not about you getting into Nikin, it's when Nikin gets into you. And when it gets into your family and they start to appreciate the fact, because, you know, when you talk about public speaking not really being taught in the schools, ours got that exposure right from a very early age of being on a stage, whether mommy or daddy were speaking or receiving an award, they were right there with us. And so it's just, you know, par for the course for them. I mean, so bad. I remember at my mother-in-law's memorial service, both our daughters knew that I was going to be doing part of it. And youngest Emily, 7 years old, she says, "Daddy, do you need me to get up and speak as well?" Wow. not at this gig. You don't have to at this one. We'll save that for the next weekend meeting. So, Grant, wow. And thank you guys so much for taking time out of your Saturday morning, and what a blessing to have both of you when I was only planning on having one. You guys, this is valuable information that I know that I've taken some notes and I'm going to glean a lot from it. I know our team will. And if you're on the call and you've had someone that you came to your mind like, oh man, I wish they could have heard this because they're in the corporate industry or an engineer or whatever, that you think they might relate to what Grant and Ann have said, www.growingandwellness.com. Brad makes the CDs available. They're very professional. They're all track setting. No, that's not the right word, but they're all set with the tracks. And for very, very inexpensive, you can get a copy of the CD. And he does make portions of the recording available online. And if you're listening to this via CD and you want to join us live, we'd love to have you. It's 319-279-1000, and the code is 62862#. So thank you guys again. You've been wonderful, and I look forward to seeing you at the convention. And for those of you who have never met them, you just have to go up to them and say, hey, we heard your story on Saturday AM Live, and what a treat. So, and I challenge you. Trust me when I say that when you meet this couple in person, you'll say, oh, okay, yeah, that's the one that they'll change your life, because you guys changed mine over a year ago when I first met you. So thank you again. And look forward to seeing you, like I said, in October. And you, everyone, we're going to wish you a wonderful weekend. Look forward to having you join us next Saturday morning as well. So goodbye, everybody.
Have fun, everybody. Have fun. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.